We've got to start somewhere, so we're starting right at the very top of the show with Michael Beer from the Melbourne Stars, who's on the line with us now. G'day, Michael.
G'day, Kevin. How are you, mate?
Going well, mate. Have you survived from what they're telling me is oppressive heat conditions and a sauna that you played in on the weekend?
Yeah, it was nice and humid in there, Eddie, but I think the main point from us, we came away with the points, so I think we all walked away pretty happy from that evening.
Was it as stifling and as uncomfortable as I'm sort of being led to believe in the papers?
Yeah, it was pretty uncomfortable. I think we actually played a game 2 years ago, which was actually quite similar. It's just a lot of sweat and a lot of very humid. And I think there's a lot of drinks run on the ground, and the players, I think, would have prepared pretty well with a lot of hydration beforehand.
Was the ball harder to hold or do anything with, Michael, or was that not a factor?
Oh, not overly. A lot of us have hand towels on the back of our pants, and the umpires tend to hold them if you really need to dry the ball. Same as if you end up playing in wet conditions. So, wasn't too unfamiliar.
In the space of two games, you've played in front of nearly 120,000 people. How good's that?
Yeah, it's amazing. The Melbourne public getting behind BBL has been great, and obviously I think we've got two of the better sides in the competition this year, so hopefully, you never know, we could match up in a semi or even a final again, so that'd be even great if we can play each other.
We're halfway through. You've got four games to go. Next one tomorrow against the Strikers at the G. Doubleheader there with the WBBL game. But you've got the Scorchers after that, then the Heat and the Sixers. So to make the finals and to be sitting nice and comfortable, you're going to have to win probably three of those four.
Yeah, the competition seems to open up every year. So firstly, we'll start with tomorrow night. Obviously, a big doubleheader for the club, and it'd be great if the fans can again come out the MCG and get behind both our Melbourne Stars teams. And there's nothing more enjoyable than playing in front of a full MCG crowd.
Mate, your figures have been sensational. You've opened the bowling all four games to date. 3 for 22, your best so far, which of course was on the weekend. But you haven't gone for any more than 32 is the most you've gone for, which is quite remarkable.
Yeah, I don't think I've bowled me four overs too often, so that might play a part in that. Obviously, it can be pretty tough opening at the start with only two out, but that's my role in the team at the moment. So I'm playing that. It might change a little bit with the bonus of Adam Zampa for him going to play for Australia now, so my role might change a little bit, but we'll see how that goes going forward.
So obviously the One Day International side has had more so for your team than any other team in the BBL. You've been hit the hardest with three of your players going. What was sort of the talk about that after the team was announced?
Oh, I think we all knew going into the tournament. We've got that sort of calibre of players, especially with Maxwell, Faulkner and Zamps going to the Aussie team. So it's great. I think we prepare for it. We've got a pretty good depth in our lineup, so it might create opportunity for a couple of other guys to step up and play their part in the squad.
And you've got to have that depth in the squad because, as you say, you know this has been coming and you're pretty sure, I imagine, internally that you're going to lose those three blokes.
Yeah, correct. And I think even last year we probably got decimated a bit more because we lost Hastings and Scott Boland as well last year, the national duty. And bonus is we get Pete Hanscom back. He's obviously the form he's in. He'll be great to get back in the lineup. So there's also some positives with that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, when you take that, you open the bowling in a T20 game, is the entire focus of the match reconfigured after that first over, depending on what happens?
Oh, not really. I think we all have sort of matchups and plans for each batsman. And I think that for the first time in a few years, the batsmen are coming out with plans. They're sending certain batsmen out that probably target me at the top and other opening bowlers in the first six, because the first six overs are probably a big part of the momentum of the game, and whoever wins that sort of tends to more often than not win the innings. If you lose a couple of wickets in your first six, I think history tells you you don't go on to win too many games. So and then if you get off to a flyer, it can be hard to slow down, which I think we showed the other night.
So when you take your first over, at the end of your first over, do you know you're going to bowl the next one? Is that already decided, or is it depend on how you do bowl that first one?
Oh, probably depends on whether they land or whether they don't. I'm involved with that, to be honest. I think Dave Hussey does a great job, and it's a lot of he just goes off his instinct and gut feel, and he obviously has a few plans and matchups in his head as well. It depends on who's out there, and obviously then you adapt to the conditions that are available on the night.
What's Huss like as a captain? I mean, we see a lot of the older heads are running a lot of the T20 teams. You know, got Hodgie and McCullum and Hussey. Is he a cool, calm, collected customer?
Yeah, very relaxed. Yeah, very relaxed. And I think you can see it the way he's always played his cricket. Very relaxed. Enjoys the game. Always puts things in hindsight and goes with his gut feel, whether it's with the shot he's going to play with the bat or the fielding change or throwing someone the ball, which sometimes might seem like the right or wrong time, but he goes with his gut feel. And I think more often than not, he's been extremely successful and I love playing under him.
How about the batting side of it, Michael? Because they were throwing some stats out in one of the games on the weekend about the number of bowlers in T20, like Tate and Hogg, and I can't remember who the other ones were they threw up, but who've bowled a lot of overs, taken a lot of wickets and scored, you know, like 3 runs in the competition. So they've very rarely had a bat. You've had one bat this year. Do you prepare a lot for the batting scenario to happen?
Not really. I find an okay position at number 11. It's either... If I'm batting a lot of the time, the game's over. Obviously, I prepare for if we bat first, then I come into bat. And hopefully, the guy at the other end who's a better batsman. So the aim is for me to make sure we bat the 20 overs and get as many runs as we can. And then on the other hand, the situation I found myself in a week or so ago, try and get as many runs in as least time to try and chase down a total. So one little bonus of being number 11 is you can't sort of throw your wicket away because there's no one behind you. So. So it's a bit different to maybe a few other spots. But you just prepare. You just think about the game situation and try and do your best for what your team's required at the time.
Been a lot of talk about the fielding in this competition this year, that it's been the Achilles heel of a few teams. It's actually cost a few teams games. Has that been addressed during this competition at all by your coaching staff?
We talk about our fielding and we sort of put it as just to back up the bowler and give it your best. And we all know, fielding sometimes you don't have the odd bad night and that sort of thing. I think the conditions we've been fielding in have been pretty tough. I think of the Hobart game last night and our first game we played down there Boxing Day. The outfield is just lightning. So as a fielder, you're actually, even if you're on the boundary and the ball's coming along the ground, the actual reaction time still can be pretty minimal. So it's a very high pressure environment, and as long as we do our preparation and we give it our best out there, I think, as from the Melbourne Stars group, we're happy with that. Just do our best and create a lot of movement and make sure we cover all the bases.
Reality or perception that this has become more of a spinner's game than everyone thought, and that you blokes are now sort of taking control of the bowling part of the competition?
Yeah, I think it is reality. I think the other part of it is, you look at the guys that bowl really fast, like Mitchell Johnson and Sean Tate, they seem to be going for high percentage of runs as well. So maybe the slower you bowl, the harder it is to hit to a degree at the moment, and especially with, you look at guys like Chris Lynn and that, they swing the bat that hard, the quick, even if they don't hit in the middle, but the quicker ball's going to go further. So that might be I think it is reality at the moment. And you never know, T20 cricket, the way it's changed over the last 5 or 6 years, in a few more years, it could be a different scenario. Players might be able to hit the spinners better and the pace might stem back on top. So I think it's just a bit of the evolution of the T20 game, and it keeps changing with the different skills and varieties that batsmen and bowlers keep preparing and developing.
Someone will come up with something. We all know that's going to be the case. You must have been devastated, given you're playing them on Tuesday the 17th of the MCG. You must have been devastated with Chris Lynn's selection in the Australian One Day International team.
Oh, yeah, that's all part of it. He got us last year, so I think we might have got the one up on him this year. But you never know. He's in the Aussie side and he's well-deserved. He's such a clean hero of the ball, and it'd be great to see him do it on international stage.
So where do you bowl to a bloke like Chris Lynn, Brendan McCullum, those blokes who just hit the ball so clean, don't seem to need any sort of sighters to get them going. They just walk out there and from the first ball, they're whacking it over the fence. What do you bowl to them, Michael?
I think you've got to do your research, and each batsman is very different. Everyone's got their different areas they tend to go. And the one bonus, I think, is they've played a lot of T20 cricket. At some stage, they've had a bad day, and you try and find that bad day and see what they did that day and maybe what the bowlers did and try and replicate that. So that's one thing I personally try and do and look at options like that. So, yeah, just hopefully they have that bad day when you're at the top of your mark.
So when they do smash you out of the ground, let's face it, as someone pointed out in the press on the weekend, it's not called the Big Bash Dot League or the Big Dot League competition, dot ball competition. It's called the Big Bash competition. When you get smacked out of the park, what how do you reset the your sort of thought pattern?
Yeah, I normally try and take a deep breath, concentrate on what I'm trying to do and try and execute. If I execute and they play a good shot, well, there's not much you can do with it. If you bowl a bad ball and they get it, well, you can be disappointed with yourself, but then it's all about having that thrown in the bin to a degree and starting again at the top of your marker and executing that next ball.
I've spoken to a couple of blokes this year who really like playing on the Gabba because the ball comes onto them as batsmen and as bowlers, as medium-paced bowlers. They like the fact that there's that little bit of extra bounce in the Gabba and a little bit of extra bounce in Perth. Any particular wicket you like bowling on, given that you're not there to tweak the ball a lot? You're just there, to get it up there and try and get wickets. Do you like bowling anywhere in particular in this comp?
Yeah, it's sort of varied. A lot of the wickets I've sort of found have been pretty similar. Obviously, Eddie Abb, I think, was a tiny bit slow the other night, and the old mum was skidding on, and I think the MCG's been that way too. But I've played days where the MCG's turned lots, and then days where the MCG's left only on a sheeted glass. So I feel like I've had no hope. So I really enjoy the MCG, basically because the ground size. There's always a couple of areas I think you can defend on the big ground, and I've always liked bowling in Perth. They say a bit of extra speed, but sometimes I feel like I can get onto the batsman a bit quicker, so they can't really get underneath you. So but to me, it's all about on the day, judging those conditions and adapting to it as quick as possible.
Talking to Michael Beer from the Melbourne Stars, is Adelaide the hardest one to defend runs on and stop them from whacking you square and just the easy six over the shortest boundary?
Yeah, I think Adelaide and Sydney, we've always played at the SCG over the years, and there's always been a really short boundary as well, so... There's always a couple of grounds like that, but that's all part of the Big Bash League, and a lot of the grounds are test grounds, and the wickets in the middle normally go for the international game, so it's something you have to prepare for, and that's all part of playing in this competition.
There's an Australian T20 side to be named for a series while the test side are away. You think you might be in the calculations, Michael?
Well, I doubt it at this stage. I think if national selectors are going to pick me, it might have already happened, but they've... Obviously, Adam Zamp has been amazing with the white ball, and I think he's definitely in the front of the running. You don't know who they're going to go for, to be honest. They like to pick a second spinner as a batsman as well, I guess, in the history of Australian selecting. So, yeah, you're not sure. Obviously, if something comes along, obviously I'd grab it with both hands and love to represent my country in any sport, let alone T20 cricket. But, it's one thing... You don't really play for it at the moment. It's just about trying to get the win for the Melbourne Stars.
Well, you're sitting fourth on the ladder at the moment in the BBL. Four games to go. The next one tomorrow at the MCG up against the Strikers, Hodgie and the boys. So it'll be an interesting little battle, that one. And hopefully a reasonably good day. 28 degrees, so it's going to be nice conditions.
Yeah, beautiful conditions. It'd be great to get the Melbourne public. I don't think there's too much on Tuesday night in Melbourne. So it'd be great to get all the sporting fans out to support the Stars tomorrow night.
Good stuff. Thank you, Michael. Always appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, Kev.
Michael Beer there from the Melbourne Stars joining us. They take on the Strikers tomorrow night at the MCG. It's a doubleheader with the WBBL game on before it.